Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It is time now for Culture Club. And today it's an interesting one. I want to talk about finding your calling. Most of the time we think it's got something to do with a career, a profession. What about sometimes your calling has something to do with your hobby? Your hobby, perhaps something to do with a way of life. Well, today I'm going to speak with someone who went down the path of being in the law, but his heart had always remained loyal to his passion. How did that shape his life? Well, on the line with me is Professor Gamal Hassan, who is a world champion, by the way, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Prof, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on your show. Thank you.
I am so grateful to have this conversation with you because I'm a lifelong martial artist myself. Not quite at your level. We are the same age. I have a long way to go. But I got to start off, Prof, to ask you, why jiu-jitsu? Why did you decide to take on this art?
All right. As you know, I'm coming from Brazil, right? So, and in Brazil, we have a strong culture of sports in general, not only martial arts, but sports in general, especially football, right? And as a teenager, right, I've been always into sports and actually fighting itself, been also a part of my life, especially because of my father. My father was not himself a practitioner, but he liked to watch boxing. So I was used to watch those Mike Tyson fights back then during the 90s, right? Yeah. So it was quite popular. And a lot of stories about Muhammad Ali, right?
Yeah.
And so then as life was going on, I got in touch with the Ultimate Fighting Championship, especially the first to the fourth edition, right? It was a VHS tape back then, right? So we had contact with those tapes. And I was watching Royce Gracie, and Royce Gracie from of course, obviously from the Gracie family, right?
Yeah.
And so he was taking part in those tournaments, and back then it was, of course, no holds barred, Vale Tudo back then, actually. The rule set was quite restricted, right? And he was developing graciously, actually, a martial art that I knew existed, but I didn't know that was so efficient, right? It was so beautiful to be seen, as not only because he was smaller and he was beating bigger guys, but, I mean, the level of dominance, right? So it was so perfect, right? And it definitely brought me to a point where I needed to one day eventually start training that, actually, right? Even though I had some background in judo when I was a kid, right? I remember, I did judo for a few years, right? But, of course, from my end, I would say that from the moment when I stopped training judo to the moment where I started training jiu-jitsu, it was like more than maybe 15, 16 years, right? Yeah. So I started training jiu-jitsu, I was 21 years old. So that was pretty much my call, actually, right? Watching him and watching what jiu-jitsu was back then, because I had friends who were training back then also, and me, and especially, again, as somebody who likes to practice sports, football in general, right? So joining a martial art like jiu-jitsu, which is so democratic in a way, actually, because opens the room for anybody, right, to be able to practice, was that called the most my attention to eventually join and start training jiu-jitsu.
Wow, it's quite an interesting story. But what also is interesting, Gamal, is that you had a bit of family expectations as well, and that pushed you to the point where you found yourself in law school. You became a lawyer, right?
Yes, I did. Actually, expectations are everywhere, right? I mean, not only among the family members, but, you know, in our social environment, right? So, and from being a practitioner, right, to a point where you can eventually make a living out of it, there's a long way, actually, right? So for me, I mean, definitely, I had the opportunity to study, which is great because, you know, my family had the financial resources to give me a good education, right? So I could study. I had a degree in physical education first, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I finished physical education, then I was in a sort of limbo, right? Because at that time, I didn't have any interest on doing any job related to that, actually. And I had just started my jiu-jitsu journey, right? So to 25, 26, my mom said, like, why don't you try law, right? I mean, like, I said, hey, let's go, right?
Okay.
Then I did. Then that's what I did. I joined the law school. I got my degree in 2011 together with my black belt, right? So I was pretty much actually competing, training, and studying law for the whole period.
It's very interesting. So I want to bring up some similarities, Kamal. I studied law as well, and I'm a boxer. And when you look at TV or movies, there tends to be a link between a lawyer and this lawyer. A good lawyer usually practices some kind of martial arts. So you've got jiu-jitsu. You were a lawyer. Do you feel the same, that there is a link, or would you feel that the jiu-jitsu made you a better lawyer?
I would say they are truly related, actually, right? Like, the strategical standpoint, I would say, right? Because when, as a lawyer, right, you have to get yourself out of the picture in order to see what's happening there, right? Yeah. And logically address the matter, right? Yeah. We try our best not to be emotional, right? Because otherwise it's going to be terrible, right? So that's pretty much the point. I believe that in jiu-jitsu, we have similarities because there are many countless situations where you're going to find yourself in a sort of stalemate, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to figure things out, right? You have to truly see what is the best option available, right? In order to at least to diminish the damage, right? Sometimes we don't play for the full victory at that moment, but at least to try to diminish the damage and carry on with the match or with the cause, right?
Yeah. And sometimes it's even knowing when to tap out, protect yourself,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now you are teaching at Evolve. Tell me a little bit about how you've progressed to this. What is it like?
Right, so Evolve happened 2013, actually, especially, I would say, I can bring it back earlier a little bit, 2012. In November 2012, a friend of mine, Bruno Pucci, he's currently fighting for one championship, right? So he's a close friend of mine, and we used to train together, right? So he received the opportunity at Evolve to be a fighter and a professor by November 2012, right? So then, he of course, that for us, it was a huge deal, right? Yeah. Coming from Brazil, right? Yes. Had the opportunity to truly work with jiu-jitsu, not only jiu-jitsu, but become a professional fighter in a setting like Evolve and Singapore, right? You know, it's huge, right? So when he came to Singapore a few months later, they were needing somebody here to help with the training. Bruno was about to compete. There was an ADCC trial. ADCC is a grappling tournament, widely popular, actually. It's quite important tournament, right? So Bruno would compete in that tournament, and actually there was a qualifier in Manila, Philippines. And Shinya Aoki, one of our athletes, one of the fighters representing Evolve back then, he would fight one show against Strong Racing, right? So they needed a training partner, and Bruno thought about me, and he invited me. So that was basically my call to Evolve. So I came to Evolve. I had the opportunity to be here for 45 days, training and coexisting with this beautiful country and this fantastic gym. Yeah. And when I returned to Brazil, months later, I got the official job offer. So then, since September 2013, I've been living my dream here in Singapore and working pretty well.
That's really nice. And I've had the opportunity to speak with Bruno's wife, Angela, a couple of times. That family is a wonderful, amazing family. And you would credit, you know, part of that to the culture that Evolve has. Tell me a little bit about how Evolve has been. Do you feel that they are like part of your family?
Evolve, especially in a country like Singapore, right? Singapore is still developing. Regarding this culture of sports, right? Not only martial arts, but sports in general. So I think Evolve has played, still playing, of course, an essential role to not only to, of course, develop the sport itself, but to create an environment where people can truly feel, I would say, safe and happy to be, right?
Yeah.
Like where you can truly go to the gym without any concern, any worry, or anything like that. You just go to the gym, you're just simply getting out of that. I would say that Evolve has kind of created a sort of a parallel dimension, right? Mm-hmm. So getting into that world of Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, or wrestling, or MMA, or yoga, right? You're only thinking about that for the next 1 or 2 hours, right? So it's magical how it happens because it's, to me, honestly, like living and working for Evolve for so long, right? Yeah. I've experienced so many things, so many situations that Evolve, right? But one thing that's paramount is the level of love, right, that you can see within not only, of course, the gym members, right, the staff, but that we can truly propose when opening our doors for the public.
That is so true. That is so true. Kamal, I wonder, we're the same age, been in martial arts for quite a long time. Do you ever worry about physical limitations, injuries catching up, maybe?
Never. I would say never because I think, to me, as jiu-jitsu started as a way to truly, truly get over a lot of insecurities, right? So I was training jiu-jitsu, of course, to compete. essentially, right?
Yep.
But it's because it is still, right, a way of me feeling better,
yes,
right?
Okay.
So I had never had any break, any sort of, like, I was never holding back. So, and especially when I started, even today, of course, right, but when I started, I was extremely physical, right? So anything was, if I was breathing, I was moving, right?
Okay.
So, and in order to have that type of approach, you can never hold yourself back. And actually, I've been carrying that behavior on since then, actually, right? Because even today, of course, sometimes, you know, our body is not the same, right?
Yeah.
So over so many, after so many years, right, the elbows are no longer the same,
yeah,
the neck is no longer the same, the knees are no longer the same, right? But at the same time, I think the level of confidence that you have, actually, of course, the technical knowledge that you learn as well, right? It truly drives you through the any potential concern about physical liability or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah,
for a fresh beginner, right, definitely you have to understand how your body works, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then try to gradually adapt yourself, right? Because that's also the magic of jiu-jitsu, right? You can truly adapt yourself to the practice. So we have so many resources, right?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think, and I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a competitor as well. He's a little bit older than us. And he says, hey, you know, I feel I got better as I got older because I got wiser. Perhaps that's what martial arts does for us. What would you say to anyone that's looking to pick up martial arts, any young person or even an older person? What would your advice be?
You have to allow yourself to truly immerse yourself and to love it, right? That's the most important thing, right? Because as you said just now, the physical limitations due to age or sometimes the physical limitations that we impose to ourselves, right, is a mental thing. So we tend to see the martial arts, especially because we're going to be in contact with people, right? Tend to impose to ourselves those obstacles. We feel like, should I try? Should I go? Our first concern many times is, I don't want to get injured, right? And
yeah,
that's a thought that can never go through your mind if you're truly intending to be part of it, to immerse yourself into jiu-jitsu, not only jiu-jitsu, again, of course, right? Any martial arts, right? But to really be part of it, you have to be willing to truly open yourself, to leave yourself open for the challenge, for the ups and downs, for the setbacks, the successes, of course, right? But that's basically my advice because, you know, regarding to how proficient you are going to become,
yeah,
it all depends on how much you train, how much you are willing to, you know, your, again, physical abilities, but also physical capabilities, right? The open-mindedness to truly get yourself in there is the most important thing, actually, right? The rest is going to happen as a consequence of it.
Finally, Professor, this is quite a personal question. I know I mentioned earlier on that I'm a boxer, but my background, my foundation is in Wing Chun, and I do it because philosophy. I believe in a way of life. I believe in principles in life. What would you, Prof, say to someone who associates martial arts with violence? What would you say to counter that?
Right. What would I say is, first, when you think about martial arts, you have to think about it, you have to internalize it,
okay,
right? You have to think about your self-betterment, right? Think about it as a way to become better, physically,
okay,
mentally, right?
Okay.
This violence, the violence attached to it, of course, at first, when you have no further knowledge, it's quite simple. You've seen punches, you've seen kicks, right? You've seen people tapping. Like, it's easy to relate it, right? But at the same time, again, for somebody who intends to truly understand what it is, you have to first think about, what do you want? Why do you want to be violent?
Okay.
Why do we want to start training, right? And then it's going to be forging yourself. You're going to be forging that, understanding that the context of martial art is a context that teaches us benevolence, teaches us, of course, discipline, teaches us camaraderie, teaches us how to be social, how to understand people's limitations, and, of course, their qualities as well, in order to integrate, right? That's the most important thing, integration. We unfortunately live in a world that sometimes we segregate because of ups and backgrounds or educational levels or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
And in martial arts, actually, there's no space, there's no room for such thing, actually. Everybody has to be equal.
Yeah.
Equal, again, everybody is, regardless of whether you are white belt, blue belt, or black belt, right? You are a man, you are a woman, and you are the same as everybody else, right? And that's the most important thing. If you want to truly detach what martial arts are from any violent context or anything like that.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much. I have been speaking with Evolve Trainer. He is also a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've been speaking with Professor Gamal Hassan. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling me. Thank you. See you next time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.